Hello and welcome everyone to the final episode of The Immigrant's Journey, Season 1. It's been officially 1 year and we're going to take a break and come back with Season 2 with more stories of immigrants living in Ireland and abroad. And like all things in life, we like change. Well, I certainly do. So don't worry, we'll be creating new content. I'm starting a new podcast called Talk Sense to Me. The first episode will be released next month and we'll keep you posted via our Facebook page. So I want to share with you where the idea for the new podcast came from, the concept. So over the last few weeks, I've been listening to some really interesting conversations with Daniel Schmattenberger, Jordan Greenhall, and the lads at Rebel Wisdom. So they're science guys, entrepreneurs, and journalists. And I'm going to get into a very simplified version of what they have been collectively saying, which is basically that our technology has grown beyond our capacity to predict a safe and good future for our species. And unless our spiritual, moral, and psychological development catches up to our technological development, our extinction is very near. It sounds doom and gloom, but personally, I've actually been thinking the same thing for like the last 20 years. Schmattenberger in particular outlines the need for our society to move from a rivalrous system to a predominantly cooperative one. I agree with him in theory, and I love the idea of moving from competition to cooperation because I think we'd get so much more done. But then there's this little thing called human nature that gets in the way. And that's really my reasoning for starting this podcast. I want to explore inside and out to what extent our nature, our pre-programming, gets in the way of us making good choices and cooperating. I want to know to what extent our views are fixed and when they are most malleable. So Schmattenberger says that we need to stop competing and start cooperating, particularly in efforts to make sense of our ever more complex world. Otherwise, our species' days are numbered. Personally, I love that idea. I'm cooperative by nature until someone acts a prick and then I'm not. But in general, I like cooperating. But I feel like convincing powerful entities and institutions in society that this is the way forward, well, I'm skeptical. But I am for the idea for sure, but I'm just not clear on a compelling angle that would convince short-sighted thinkers who are currently crushing it to take a step back and look at the long game. Schmattenberger says the problems we are collectively facing are too vast for a very small elite group to solve, and we need the collective brains of everyone. I totally agree. I like that thinking. It touches on several points that are important in life. One, our problems are bigger than our individual selves. The individual needs the group to help. However, the individual needs to grow and flourish in their individuality in order to be most effective in a collective. It's this yin and yang of collectivism working with individualism, but it's often one versus the other, where the collective tends to crush individuality. But it doesn't necessarily need to be like that. It could be one supporting the other. But what would that look like? The reality of what it means to join forces collectively is a really difficult and complex problem. For many of us, if not most of us, we have enough problems and difficulty cooperating with our families and friends, never mind the larger community around us and groups of strangers. I'll give you an example. When I was a guest on Sunita Appiah-Khorang's podcast, Points of Intersection, we were discussing my family history a little. So as most listeners to this podcast know, I don't have much of a relationship with my father, who, in my opinion, it is only my opinion, suffers from antisocial personality disorder. So what does that have to do with anything? Well, for one, when you're raised by someone who has difficulties functioning in the world, it impacts your development. It stunts it, in fact. So becoming a person with a well-developed individuality that can function effectively as part of a collective isn't a straightforward matter. Too many of us have been raised by people who had their own problems and whose problems limited their ability to give their children proper and effective mentorship and guidance. So how did I overcome some of the blocks of my upbringing? I thought about this question a lot, and I think the answer is a couple of different things. One, I have a curious mind. I'm interested in people and ideas. And if either or neither is making sense, I have to understand why and what is going on. My brain does not let me go, oh, well, that's life, I guess. I need answers or my brain will torture me into thinking about how something someone doesn't make sense. So I have to figure it out. But this is all within the limited confines of what I find relevant in my life. It's not like I'm trying to find answers to all my questions. I wouldn't be able to live otherwise. So I have to prioritize people and ideas that must make some kind of sense so that I can orient myself in the world. But two, and more importantly, I learned to develop a growth mindset that I didn't have early in my life. And that is perhaps even more vital to overcoming limitations than any personality trait you're born with. For one, I was absolute shite when I was younger at networking or building friendships. I never had that modeled and my social interactions were quite restricted. I had very poor social skills when it came to making friends and building close friendships. And if you think about it, it makes sense. I was raised in relative isolation by an antisocial parent. I socialized with my cousins until my parents fell out with their parents, and then my only socialization really came once a week at church. And then I was pulled out of school when I was 14 to be homeschooled, so it wasn't looking good for the trajectory of my social development. I can't say precisely when I began to develop a growth mindset, but it was definitely after my mid-20s, probably late-20s. I think college helped a lot, particularly learning how to think about a topic from multiple angles and understanding that your view is just a perspective and not necessarily the truth. It may feel true to you, but until you consider all the available facts on a topic, you don't have a full picture. So is it even appropriate to consider your perspective truth? I think saying it's true as far as I can tell is probably better. But having grown up in a conservative religious household, the idea that things aren't black and white and that truth isn't a straightforward concept, this was initially totally alien to me. The big milestone for me was when I lost my faith. I vividly recall crying the first time I said out loud, "I don't believe a God exists." It was such an intense feeling of confusion and feeling lost. I was raised with this identity that my parents imposed on me, as their parents had imposed on them. But now that I could no longer find it credible, I had to reconstruct a new identity. And that was no small task, especially because I was in my late 20s. It took a lot of reading, reflecting, analyzing, journaling time to reorient myself in the world. It doesn't surprise me at all that people are hesitant to having their worldviews tampered with, especially if their social standing is tied to it. I've always been a loner in many ways and comfortable going against the grain. But being childless definitely played a part in facilitating my transition and ideology. It's not like my children were dependent on my social networks, so departing from it only had social consequences for me. And I'm pretty comfortable with change and risk by temperament, so it wasn't devastating when I lost my social circle as a result of losing my faith. So back to the new podcast, Talk Sense to Me. Based on my life experience and learnings, I'm super interested in exploring how and when and under what circumstances we are willing to change our minds. So for this venture, I will be inviting co-hosts who are going to take a topic of interest. We're going to share what we initially think about it. Then we're going to research as much as we can on the topic from a liberal and conservative perspective. Share what we find and see if we think any different after. From my studies on human psychology, we probably won't move much on our initial thoughts. But I am interested in how much we might possibly shift in perspective and for what reasons. Like in my experience, it took me probably 3 years from the time I first started to question my church's theology and their interpretation of the Bible to the point where I'm like, oh God, I actually don't believe in any of this anymore. So changing your mind on things, especially when your identity is intertwined with it, can be a really long process. So I don't necessarily expect our minds to change too much depending on the topic, but I would suspect, this is my hypothesis, if the topic we are covering isn't tied into our identity and how we view ourselves, we probably will be more willing to change our mind. but we'll definitely see as the conversations continue. That said, making sense of the world isn't an academic exercise. It is deeply entrenched in our values and experience and how we rank order our priorities. So I look forward to sharing these interesting topics and ideas with you all in the new podcast, and I'll be posting promo clips towards the end of the month. I hope you've enjoyed the solo cast. Be well, everyone. And until the next journey or topic, ciao.